The Drive with Derek Gilbert. Your city, your station. The Eagle 93.9.
Tomorrow night at The Drive, we're going to talk about expanding the Columbia Public School District. The city's growing. One of the problems that raises is where to put all the kids in school. Well, there's a proposed $60 million bond issue we'll vote on in April, and tomorrow night we'll talk with Dr. Phyllis Chase. She's the superintendent of the Columbia Public School District. Is it enough money? What's it all going to go for? You'll find out tomorrow night on The Drive here on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. One of the most popular topics that we've talked about over the last month or so is the fare tax, and so we wanted to get somebody on who could talk about this intelligently, because I'm not the guy. So with us is a gentleman who spent 12 years in Missouri General Assembly and served two terms as our lieutenant governor, beginning in 1972, 1976, and now he's national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation, or fairtax.org. William Phelps, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Well, thank you. Let's make April 15th just another day.
Amen to that. Well, Bill, what exactly is wrong with our current system of collecting income tax?
It's a monstrosity so complex that it confuses even the IRS at times. About 60% of the people have to hire somebody to pay somebody to do their taxes. The total compliance cost on the entire economy of the United States just to comply with the tax code is about $250 billion at least, maybe as much as $500 billion. Those resources could be better utilized. The IRS fails by its own admission to collect more than $300 billion a year. That is enough to close the federal deficit. And what's happening is that people on the very high end of the income scale are avoiding taxes legally by offshore tax shelters, which are being challenged, some of them by the IRS. Corporate headquarters are leaving America because of the tax code. Jobs are leaving America because of the tax code. And it generally is a detriment to the economy, and there is a better way, and that's the fair tax.
How did we get saddled with such a monstrosity?
Keep in mind that it started in 1913 with the promise that it would be a flat rate tax, and it would tax only the rich. Now, we've heard that story before.
Yeah, that's always how they sell that to us, isn't it?
Yes. So we know what happened to that. And what the fair tax does is to replace all taxes on income. The Internal Revenue Code would be eliminated and replaced with the fair tax, which is a progressive national retail sales tax only on the purchase of new goods and services for personal consumption. And the IRS would go away as we know it. Never again would anyone be required to file an income tax return.
So the tax then would not apply to goods purchased for wholesale purposes or for use in the production of a finished product. Is that right?
No business-to-business taxes. Those taxes are now embedded or hidden in the price of everything we buy. And so when you eliminate those taxes, the price that you pay now at the cash register would go down on the average of about 20%. At the cash register, you'd be charged 23%. On your purchase of a new good or service, but because there is a prebate of the tax paid on the poverty level of support, a family of four, for example, would be tax-free on the first $26,400 of spending on new goods and services. Below that is certainly a zero tax. Even at twice that amount, $52,800 of spending on new goods and services, the effective tax rate, even though you pay 23% at the cash register, the effective tax rate due to the rebate is only 11%, 11.5%, and that's what you actually pay of your spending. So if you go to the website, and we urge people to do that, fairtax.org, there's a ample amount of information there, but you can put in your own figures and compare how the income tax would treat your particular income versus the fair tax with the prebate. And in virtually every case, you'll find that the effective tax rate is less under the fair tax than it is under the income tax. But the fair tax is designed to produce a neutral result in terms of total revenue that the federal government is now receiving from the income and the payroll taxes, both of which would be eliminated.
We're talking with Bill Phelps. He's the national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. The website is fairtax.org, and we're discussing the fair tax on the Eagle 93.9. Now, Bill, if the tax rate to me as a taxpayer is reduced, how is it that the government's going to get the same amount of money?
Because the consumption economy is larger than the income tax-based economy, and it's growing on an annual basis. If you look back maybe 10 years, the consumption economy has practically doubled. Because we're having more people holding more jobs, consuming more goods and services. And as a result, the fair tax offers a better long-term financial base. Now, it won't solve all of the demographic problems of the Social Security, but it would provide a better financial base for supporting Social Security and Medicare in the long term than the current worker-based payroll system, which demographics is causing to be a difficult future.
Now, if Americans in general have such a strong dislike of the Internal Revenue Service and this whole process, why has Congress over the last 90 years not done anything about the IRS?
Well, the fair tax was developed with private donated funds, hiring some of the best economists in the country about 10 years ago, and their charge was to develop the best tax system for the United States, and the fair tax is what was produced. Since 2001, when John Linder, the current sponsor in Congress, member of Congress from Georgia, first introduced the bill, each year we have grown in having more support in the Congress, and in the outgoing Congress, there are 63 House co-sponsors, and these are members who are signed and committed on the bill. There would be more who would vote for it. But this strength and support has grown as a result of grassroots activity, grassroots support. People who are telling their members of Congress that they want to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service, they want to get rid of the IRS, and all of the intrusions and burdens that that brings on their individual lives, and be able to control the amount of tax by what you buy, and that would be the fair tax.
That's kind of a neat feature. You get to control how much tax you pay by controlling your spending. And I see that two of the representatives here in Missouri, Todd Akin of the 2nd District and Sam Graves of the 6th, are listed as co-sponsors on this bill, which is
That's correct. Now, the remaining members, your own Columbia member of the U.S. Congress, Kenny Hulchoff, is non-committed. He's uncommitted at this point, but he sits on the very important Ways and Means Committee, which is the Tax Writing Committee.
Ah.
And so I would urge people who want to change our tax system to let Congressman Kenny Hulchoff know what your feelings are and urge support for the fair tax.
We're talking with Bill Phelps. He's the national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. The website is fairtax.org. We're going to devote the entire hour to this, and we'll continue our conversation in less than 4 minutes. I'm Derek Gilbert. You're listening to The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 at theeagle939.com.
Columbia's information superhighway. This is The Drive with Derek Gilbert, your city, your station, the Eagle 93.9.
Ooh, he's tanned, rested, and ready, talking about Michael Savage, who's been off for the last couple of weeks. So he is ready to bring in the new year, so prepare to shout back at your radio after 7 o'clock tonight. Michael Savage and the Savage Nation, straight ahead on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com. We're talking about the fair tax with Bill Phelps, former lieutenant governor here in Missouri, and now national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. And if you have a question about the fair tax, If you have a question about the fair tax, give us a call now. Lines are open at 874-9390. If you're calling from outside mid-Missouri, listening in on the internet stream at theeagle939.com, that's area code 573-874-9390. Bill, how would the fair tax affect someone on a fixed income? Would this...
It would be helpful to a person on fixed income because there'd be no tax on interest or dividends or pensions or Social Security benefits. All of those are subject to taxation now over certain exemption levels. But more importantly, everyone, including those on fixed incomes, are paying those hidden taxes. And you take a single person who is a person living on Social Security, basically, they're paying the hidden taxes of approximately 20% in the price of everything they buy, and with the fair tax, they would get the prebate. A single person would get the prebate of $188 a month, making them tax-free on the first $9,600 of spending on new goods and services.
Wow.
So
okay.
The low-income people as well as fixed-income people will be better off in total under the fair tax than they are under the current system.
And would the fair tax apply to services, say, at a doctor's office?
Yes, any personal service would be charged the retail sales tax, but the provider of that service would be no longer required to pay a payroll tax or an income tax. And so you could expect the price of the service to be approximately the same since the elimination of the hidden taxes that are involved in the price of the product or service and the sales tax of approximately the same amount applied.
Okay. 874-9390. Lines are open. We go to Ryan calling in from Mexico. Ryan, welcome to the Eagle 93.9. You're on the air with Bill Phelps.
Hi. Bill, I have a two-part question, one of which you just answered regarding doctor's visits. The other one you might have already answered, but I turned my radio down when I called in. When I read Neil Bortz's book, I my understanding was that there are certain grocery staples that would be tax-exempt under the plan. Is that still true?
No. There are no exemptions under the fair tax plan, and the prebate, which is a monthly payment coming from Social Security based on family size, is designed to make everyone tax-free on the poverty level of spending, and basically those are the necessities of life, including food and all of the other necessities of life. The federal government makes a determination each year as to what the poverty level of support is. And so under the fair tax, the poverty level of support based on family size would be tax-free. For example, a single person, as I mentioned, would get $188 a month, making that person tax-free on $9,600 of spending on new goods and services, where a family of four would receive $508 a month, making that family tax-free on $26,400 of spending. That's a family of four, a married couple with two kids.
Which for most people would cover their grocery bill and beyond in some cases.
Well, that's the purpose, yes. So there's no exemptions. That's one of the problems with the current tax code. It's riddled with exemptions and special interest tax breaks, and so it's really not fair. That's why we say the fair tax is fair, because it is fair to all income groups. The low-income group is tax-free for the first time with the prebate. They're now paying the hidden taxes. The middle-income group is paying probably today, particularly the lower middle-income people, more payroll taxes than they are income taxes. Both of those go away. Middle-income people are better off. High-income people, some of them now are getting all sorts of tax shelter breaks and really are not paying as much as you think they are. And so high-income people would pay without any tax shelters or any special exemptions. They would pay the effective tax rate. As they spend more, their effective tax rate would go up. So if a person spent $211,000 on new goods and services, their effective tax rate would be 20%, this would be a family of four spending $211,000, their effective tax rate would be 20%, where if it were spending of $26,000, they would be free, tax-free.
Good call, Ryan. Thank you for your call. Appreciate the questions. 874-9390, and we've got Wallace on line two. Wallace, welcome to the Eagle 93.9 with Bill Phelps.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
I was wondering if there are provisions to repeal the amendment that allows for the income tax, because otherwise what's going to prevent the legislators from enacting the fair tax and then five or six years down the road hitting us with an income tax again?
Well, that is a part of this fair tax plan. First, to pass the fair tax by law, replacing the Internal Revenue Code, repealing the Internal Revenue Code, and second, pass a constitutional amendment that would repeal the 16th Amendment. They are also pending, that second proposal is pending in Congress, and so the idea is to pass the law first so that when you repeal the 16th Amendment, there would be a tax system in place. If you repeal the 16th Amendment before having a tax system in place,
the government goes broke.
You would be in difficulty.
Yeah.
So what we propose is pass the fair tax plan. We believe that people will be so happy to have the fair tax plan instead of the IRS that there will be a groundswell of public support to repeal the 16th Amendment, which would take a two-thirds vote of Congress and three-fourths of the states ratifying it. So that is step two of the plan, and we definitely want to do that. I will also say that the congressional sponsors of the fair tax will not support having both the fair tax and an income tax. Fair tax is designed to replace the income tax, not to have both.
874-9390 for Bill Phelps on the Eagle 93.9. We go now to Mike in Brookfield. Mike, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Yes, thanks. I was just wondering how are you going to track the spending of individual families, and do you feel like this might lead to a decrease in overall spending? I'm going to hang up and listen. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate your call.
Okay, well, there is no tracking of spending. The prebate is based on family size. It would go to any person with valid Social Security numbers and would go to the family based on family size. So for a family of four would get the monthly rebate of $508. But it would happen in this way. The family would apply at Social Security office just as a person who's 65 goes to the Social Security office and applies for Social Security benefits. They would apply. They would determine that the family had valid Social Security numbers, and then the prebate would come. There would be no showing of income or support or anything like that. It's based strictly on family size and valid Social Security numbers. And so that means that the illegals who have no valid Social Security numbers will not get the prebate.
Ah, and every time they buy something, they're paying the tax.
Exactly right. And today, the illegals are part of the cash economy that is escaping the tax.
Mm-hmm. We go now to Dale in Boonville, who's called in at 874-9390. Dale, welcome to the Eagle 93.9. You're on with Bill Phelps.
Hey, good. I would hope, I don't know whether to frame this as a question or a comment, but I would hope that before we start doling out prebates, we are able to ascertain that these are going to legitimate American citizens. And
well,
this would work. That would help accomplish two things. Number one, it would incentivize those who aren't to possibly get legitimate, or the other way, penalize or penalize those who aren't.
Well, that's the reason for the requirement to have valid Social Security numbers. The Social Security Administration already has a tax base on every valid Social Security number in the United States, and so. To get the prebate, you would have to show to Social Security that you have a valid Social Security number. And that's all that would be required once the family size is determined.
I can hear the belly aching that it's not fair to those people because they're having to pay the tax, but they don't get the prebate. What I would say is it's not fair for us to pay goods and services for those guys, whoever they are, and not have them take care of their responsibilities as citizens.
Well, the illegals will not get the prebate because they have no valid Social Security number, and when they buy something new, they'll be paying the fair tax.
Good job.
Sounds like a good plan. Dale, thanks for your call. We appreciate that. And we've got room for you now at 874-9390. We're going to take a quick break here before we move on. Give us about 4 minutes. We'll cover some news, take a look at weather, and then we will continue our discussion with William Phelps. He's national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. The website, fairtax.org. Don't forget, you can catch this interview later tonight. It'll be at the website, theeagle939.com, as we post this as part of the Eagle 93.9 podcast. Simply, that's an MP3 file where you can go back and listen to the interviews if you missed any part of it, and hopefully that'll help answer some questions. But again, most of your questions, if not all, can be answered at fairtax.org. Bill Phelps, our discussion will continue in just a moment, but now we turn to the 24-hour newsroom where Justin Offerman is standing by on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
The Drive with Derek Gilbert, your city, your station, the Eagle 93.9.
In your home at this very moment, there could be a substance that could kill you. Not quickly, slowly, but it's odorless, colorless, tasteless. You don't even know it's there. It's called radon. Tim Murphy will talk about that tomorrow morning in the Expert Minutes. He's also got Weather Plus, Eagle Eye Traffic every 10 minutes on the 10s. Tomorrow, 5:30 to 8 a.m. on the Eagle 93.9. We're talking with William Phelps. He's national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. That's fairtax.org. And we're taking your calls and questions at 874-9390. Bill, we'll just jump right back to it. We've got Sean on the line from Sedalia. Sean, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Thanks for taking my call. The way I understand it, the fair tax, it's on new products and goods and services. Is that correct?
That's correct. For personal consumption, there'd be no tax on business-to-business purposes. And for that reason, the hidden taxes go away in the price of the product. And the sales tax, when applied, would bring the price back up to approximately where it is right now.
The only concern or question I would have about that would, is there any research that would foresee a decline in the market of new homes or automobiles or new products and more of a inclination to purchase used products? And I'll get off the phone to listen to your answer.
Thanks for your call, Sean.
No, as a matter of fact, because the hidden taxes go away, the price of a new product is not increased by the sales tax. This is not an add-on sales tax. It replaces the hidden taxes that go away of approximately the same amount. Now, there will always be a differential between new and used property, as there is now, because some people want to buy new goods and they are wanting to pay more for new goods. But on the question of how much it would cost, I urge you to go to the website, fairtax.org, and there is an example in there where if you're in the 28% income tax bracket and you buy a car and you buy a car based on a loan, that your price will be about 10% less, because to buy that car now, you have to pay payroll tax, you have to pay income tax, and you buy the car, the principal amount of the car, in your after-tax dollars. Under the fair tax, you would have pre-tax dollars with which to buy the car, the principal part of the car. Now, on the interest rate, currently in the markets today, there is a difference between taxable bonds and tax-free bonds. The only difference is the income tax. So when you eliminate the income tax from interest, the interest rate is going to fall to the rate of tax-free bonds. So the interest rate on your loan, on your car, would be less than what it would be today because the taxable part goes away. So this is not going to hurt new goods. You would probably have more money to spend and able to easier to buy new goods.
Good call, Sean. Excellent question. We go now to Rick in Columbia, called in at 874-9390. Rick, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Hi, how you doing? I'm a fairly large fan of the fair tax. Me and my wife tend to fight about this every time you bring it up on the radio. And my question is, why the transition from excluding certain products from the tax to the prebate?
Okay. Right now, we have all of these exemptions in the tax code because the tax lobbyists in Washington, which comprise about half of the 50,000 registered lobbyists in Washington, through the decades have put a lot of special interest tax breaks into the tax code. So when there are no exemptions or no tax breaks and the prebate is applied strictly on the basis of family size and Social Security numbers, then there would be no reason for the tax lobbyists to try and manipulate the code. In other words, the tax lobbyists would have to work on something else instead of the tax code. So I call the tax lobbyists the boys on Gucci Gulch. And these are the boys who make big bucks getting the special interest tax breaks. And that is the principal source of opposition to the fair tax. Because they're benefiting from the ability to manipulate the tax code. And if the people back home will let their members of Congress know they want to stop this special interest tax break, they want to stop all of this manipulation of the code and replace it with a simple retail sales tax that doesn't have any of those kind of special breaks, then if enough people make themselves known to the Congress, this can be passed. The fair tax is a bipartisan proposal. And the Americans for Fair Taxation, which is sponsoring the development of the fair tax and urging people to support it, is a nonprofit organization. And so we're appealing to people of both parties. We believe that people of both parties would like to get rid of the Internal Revenue Code.
I'd love to get rid of the Internal Revenue Service. But wouldn't it make sense to actually take, like, the WIC list and simply just exclude those basic staples?
No, if you start excluding particular items, then the lobbyists are going to go to work and representing different items. They'll all try to get their item excluded. And once you get all these exclusions, it's going to force the rate up for everybody else. See, that's one of the problems with the current income tax code. All of these special exemptions, exclusions, and so forth forces the rate up for everybody else.
Sure, but what about the, I mean, aren't you talking about a fairly large overhead by essentially funneling all the money to the federal government and then redistributing it back out?
No, matter of fact, the $100 million currently spent on the Internal Revenue Code enforcement through the IRS would go away. The tax would be collected by the states, and the states already, like Missouri, already has a sales tax system because there's a state sales tax. 45 states do have a state sales tax, and so the state would collect the federal tax, and it would be just on the state form. It would be another line on the state form. The difference would be that it would apply also to services, where now the Missouri state tax applies only to goods.
So the money would actually stay with the state for a set period?
No, the state would collect it for the federal government. The state would forward it to the federal government. And then the federal government would, the Congress would appropriate the federal revenues as they do now, the revenue is generated from the income tax code.
Rick, thanks for your call. I hate to cut, but we need to move on. We've got other callers on the line at 874-9390. If you've got a question for Bill Phelps, national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. Bill, has the Bush administration given any indication that they want to move in this direction?
The Bush administration has taken no specific position on this proposal, and what we've heard from the White House is we want to hear from the people. They're looking forward to a grassroots response. They want to see that the people want it, and I think the members of Congress want to see that as well. You see, the people if the people speak, Congress will listen. But if the people don't speak, then the lobbyists are going to get the ear of the members of Congress, thinking that the folks back home really don't care. So that's why you need to make your wishes known to your members of Congress as to how you want the tax code to be changed, and that is replaced with the fair tax.
All right. We go now to John in Columbia. John, welcome to the Eagle 93.9 and Bill Phelps.
Yeah, I'm just curious, as far as like people buying goods, say, in Mexico or Canada, where they don't collect the tax, would you get them at the border, or how would that work?
Well, if it's a tourist, American tourist, buying goods in another country, for example, in England, I've been to England, and if you buy a good in England, you're paying the consumption tax there, which is a value-added tax.
Right.
But you can get it rebated by later applying for the rebate to the English government, the British government. The difference is that goods made in England and brought over here for sale in the United States now come into the United States and are sold without any income tax or payroll tax being paid on the manufacture of those goods. With the fair tax, because the English goods do not have a consumption tax that leaves their borders, they rebate that at the border. Then when the goods get to the United States, the fair tax would be applied. And it would put the American-made goods on the same playing field, you might say, level playing field, with the imported goods.
And hopefully there would be some advantage because they wouldn't have to be shipped across the ocean. We're talking with Bill Phelps. He's the spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. We're discussing the fair tax, and we've got time for your questions at 874-9390. I'm Derek Gilbert. This is The Drive on the Eagle 93.9 and the Eagle939.com.
Live, local, listening to you. The Drive with Derek Gilbert. Your city, your station. The Eagle 93.9.
Now making it easier to listen than ever with the Eagle 93.9 podcast. Go back and hear highlights of selected interviews, not just from this program, The Drive, but also from Tim Murphy in the early morning. And you'll find it right there at the website, theeagle939.com. I recommend using iTunes to download it automatically. That way you miss nothing. Our guest, Bill Phelps, national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation. That's fairtax.org. And he's been gracious enough to give us an hour of his time to answer questions from you at 874-9390. Area code 573 if you are listening to that internet audio stream at theeagle939.com. And we go now to Mike in Jefferson City. Mike, welcome to the Eagle 93.9.
Hey, good evening. Mr. Phelps, God bless you for all the work that you're doing. I have a statement and a question. I'm a supporter of fair tax. My statement, however, is that there's only one element that we can't get in our federal government in order for the Congress people to accept this proposal, and the one element is something you can't buy, and that's Coolidge. And my statement has more to do, because I have so many questions about the finer points of the fair tax. But the one thing I have to do as a libertarian voter is that I'm also very interested in reducing the size and scope of the federal government where it has power and which it should not be. However, politicians seem to be interested in increasing the size and scope of the federal government whenever possible. How is the fair tax protected and or enabled to keep from increasing it or enable it to be reduced when eventually the size and scope is reduced?
The fair tax is simply reforming the means by which the federal government raises the revenue. It does not affect the spending. The spending is a separate issue. Now, as you know, a bill in Congress cannot have both a revenue-raising and a spending aspect to it. Each are separate proposals. And Congress, no Congress can bind a future Congress on spending. Even the entitlements are subject to change from Congress to Congress. So the only way to limit the ability of Congress to spend would be to have a constitutional amendment. But that is not part of the FAIR Act. We're talking about a revenue-neutral proposal of raising the money, and a proposal that we believe would grow the economy, it would create more American jobs, and would save the billions of dollars that are now spent on compliance with the current code, and we would recover the bulk of the evasion of $300 billion that's going on now.
Thank you for your call, Mike. We appreciate that. Bill, how would this affect the companies, the corporations that are moving money offshore? Would this stimulate the economy by bringing them back?
Absolutely. That's one of the problems with the current tax code is corporate headquarters and American jobs are leaving our shores because of the tax code in order to be competitive in the international market. Now, what's happening in the international market is our American-made products, products made in Missouri, are carrying the embedded corporate income tax, payroll taxes, that our competitors, particularly those from Europe, that have consumption taxes that do not leave their shores, do not have. So our competitors have a tax advantage over our products. So our companies want to be on a level playing field, so they have to get out from under the American tax code as best can. So this is the problem with the current tax code. It is costing American jobs, where the FAIR tax would bring those jobs back home. There would be no reason to leave our shores. And, in fact, American economy would grow because America would become the best place in the world in which to invest.
If you'd like to squeeze in another question for Bill Phelps from fairtax.org before the top of the hour, the lines are open now at 874-9390. Bill, is this something that we could do on a scaled-down basis here in Missouri to replace the Missouri income tax?
Yes, and that has been suggested. A state fair tax has been suggested by a state representative from Boone County, Ed Robb.
Yep.
And I think that idea has a lot of merit because the states that are growing in terms of jobs are the states without a state income tax, and those are Florida, New Hampshire, Tennessee, Texas, and Nevada. And so if Missouri eliminated its income tax, then it would be have a leg up on its competitors in attracting new business and bringing back home a lot of people who are retirees that are now subject to the Missouri income tax and otherwise move to Florida or elsewhere. So if people want to do something, we urge that they go to the fairtax.org website. And if you'll look down at the bottom of the homepage, it says, "What can I do?" There are a number of things that you can do there to help pass this bill. And one of them is to sign a petition. That petition will go to Congress, and we want people to express their support for the FAIR tax by signing the petition. Otherwise, we'd urge you to become a volunteer, as can be done at this website. The website, fairtax.org, has a wealth of information about the FAIR tax, and we urge people to talk to their friends about it.
Bill, again, what is the status of the FAIR tax in the U.S. Congress at this point?
At the outgoing Congress, we had 63 House members who were co-sponsors. There would be others, we believe, who would vote for it, but we need more than that. We had three senators. Of course, a tax bill must be introduced and passed first in the House under the Constitution. Now, with the new Congress, that whole process has to start over again. We have to start with a new bill and then have members sign on again. So we urge people to call their members of Congress and urge them to become co-sponsors or contact them otherwise through email or a letter and become co-sponsors of the FAIR Tax Act in the next Congress.
And especially here in the 9th District, which centers on Boone County, we need to get Representative Hulsoff on board.
That's correct.
Again, what is the main obstacle? Do you see the main obstacle as the lobbyists in Washington, D.C., or are there business interests that oppose this?
This is primarily a grassroots movement from the people because of the Washington lobbyist. The Washington lobbyist would be the principal source of opposition to this proposal. And it's because they benefit through manipulating for the special interest groups the current tax code. So it's up to the people to overcome that. Now, if enough people will tell their members of Congress, we want to change the tax code and replace it with a fair tax, then that will get the ear of Congress, and that's what we need.
Well, Bill, we certainly appreciate your time. Again, fairtax.org for people who want to log on and do some calculations on what the fair tax would cost you under your current financial situation and what you can do, questions you might have about how it will affect you and your family. Bill, we'd sure like to have you back again because every time we talk about this subject, we just get swamped with phone calls.
Well, I look forward to that that opportunity.
All right. Bill Phelps, he's national spokesman for Americans for Fair Taxation, fairtax.org. Bill, thank you for joining us today on The Drive.
You're welcome, and let's make April 15th just another day.
Amen. this is a project that seems so sensible that you hear about this, and you almost wonder whether it's if there's just something hidden there. So I know Justin has loaned me his copy of Neil Bortz's Fair Tax Book, which I have on my stack of things to read. It's on the short list now, moved over from the big list. And as we go forward, we will need to do some more digging into this. But I know Ed Robb here, the state representative, is in favor of this and is looking for the opportunity to looking forward to the opportunity to push this in the General Assembly, the session getting underway in just a matter of days. And Justin, when we go down to the state capitol on the 24th for Governor Blunt's State of the State address, and we'll be broadcasting live from the capitol on that day, by the way, we'll have the opportunity to talk with some of our state representatives, not just Representative Robb, but also Representative Harris, Representative Steve Hobbs, Judy Baker, and we'll get Senator Graham in here as well and talk to them about this and find out where it stands and if it's got a chance to pass here in Missouri. Because even if we don't get it passed at the national level, and with half of the lobbyists in D.C. supporting one form of tax manipulation or another, there's a lot of opposition to overcome at the national level. But maybe we can get it done here in Missouri and enjoy the benefits at least here in our state before we take this to the national level. Tomorrow night on this program, we're going to talk about the expansion of the Columbia Public School District. As the city grows, we need to create more classroom space. Dr. Phyllis Chase, superintendent of the Columbia Public Schools, will join us to talk about the proposals that are on the boards, not least of which is a $60 million bond proposal. We'll vote on that in April, find out what it's going to go for, and whether it's going to be enough to handle the influx of students here in Columbia. Check the website tonight for the podcast. We'll have the interviews loaded. Steve Malloy of JunkScience.com and William Phelps of Americans for Fair Taxation. You'll find that at TheEagle939.com. I'm Derek Gilbert, back for The Drive again tomorrow night. Coming up, Michael Savage and the Savage Nation next on The Eagle 93.9 and TheEagle939.com.